Good evening. It's good to be with you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 John as we continue our study in this great book. Some of you were asking about Tom and Marilyn this morning. I did give Brother Tom a call after services, and Tom's still been dealing with some things that he's been dealing with, but he's also had this crud, I guess you would say, coughing and being stopped up. Marilyn is now she has it, and so that's why they weren't here this morning. But Tom has been having a very difficult time. He was telling me this year's been pretty tough on them, so I want to continue to be mindful of them. Well, as we said this morning, our lesson this evening is going to come from the book of 1 John. After tonight's lesson, I hope you'll be encouraged. I hope maybe this week you will actually just sit down and read the book of 1 John. It's a great read. I think if you were to read the entire book this week, you're going to see several things that we mentioned in our lesson, I believe, that can be very, very encouraging. As we think about tonight's lesson, it reminds me of one of the greatest privileges that we have being in Christ Jesus. Of course, that privilege that I'm talking about is being in fellowship with God. When we talk about being in fellowship with God, we're talking about a relationship, talking about having a relationship with God. Now, if there's fellowship with God, there isn't separation. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 2 teach us that sin separates us from God. If we have fellowship with God, there isn't separation. There isn't enmity with God. The language of James chapter 4 verse number 4. If we're in fellowship, there is no enmity. If we're in fellowship, we are a friend of God. If we're in fellowship, according to Ephesians 5 verse 8, we are children of God, children of the light. And as we presented this morning from the book of 1 John, if we have fellowship with God, then we have joy. We experience eternal joy. We also have forgiveness. We have victory over the evil one. And then we said if we have fellowship with God, we have that blessed assurance. We can know that we're saved. We can know that heaven will be our home. These are things that we experience when we have fellowship with God. But as we think about our fellowship with God from the book of 1 John, we see from chapter 1 that this fellowship is conditional. And I want you to notice the language here in 1 John chapter 1. We read these verses this morning, but I want to slow down and read them again, because as we read these two verses, 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7, we're going to see that our fellowship, this relationship that we have with God, is conditional. Notice with me what John says in 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read verse number 6 and verse number 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, or we do not practice the truth. It's not just enough to say, you know, I have fellowship with God. Anybody can say that. John says, if it's conditional, we have fellowship, we're going to practice the truth. Now we'll look at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so again, we see that our fellowship with God is conditional. It's conditional on the things that we talked about this morning. In other words, if we have fellowship with God, we are going to walk in the light. We talked about what it means to walk in the light. Walking in the light simply means to practice the truth, to live according to the truth. And we're referring to these things as the test of fellowship. Walking in the light is a test of fellowship. If we are in fellowship, this is what we're going to be doing. We'll be walking in the light. We then said, number two, if we are in fellowship with God, we're going to have the right attitude towards sin. And we see that attitude in verse number 9. Our attitude towards sin is we confess our sins. We don't conceal them. We don't ignore them. We don't make excuses. We confess those sins like we see with the prodigal son. I can't emphasize that enough. It's an attitude toward sin. We also notice that from 1 John 3, verse 6, in verse number 9. And without this understanding, we might get a little confused when we read chapter 3, verse 6, and chapter 3, verse number 9. John says, he that is born of God does not commit sin. John's not saying that we won't ever sin. John is saying we won't live a habitual lifestyle of sin, because we're not walking in the darkness, we are walking in the light. And so we pointed this out this morning as we have fellowship with God, having the right attitude towards sin, we can sum it up by saying this: sin is a fact of our past, but it's a fight in the present. It's a fight in the present as we have fellowship with God. Here's another passage that you can put down with the passages that we looked at this morning. We didn't mention this one, but here's another one. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19, the Apostle Paul talks about that attitude. That is, if we are a part of the body of Christ, let everyone that calls upon the Father, Paul says, depart from iniquity. There's that attitude. We don't see how close we can get. It's our attitude of departing from iniquity. I believe you can see the same thing in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, when Paul says, shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue to live a lifestyle of sin that grace may abound, that grace may increase? Paul says, absolutely not. May it not be so. Again, our attitude towards sin. What is our attitude from Romans chapter 6? Listen to what Paul said. We are dead to sin. We put to death that old man of sin when we obeyed the gospel, and we were raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verse number 4. And so it doesn't matter where we look. We can look in the book of Romans. We can look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 or the book of 1 John. And we see that it's an attitude that we must have towards sin if we want to maintain fellowship with God. And so let's confess those sins. Let's bring those sins before the throne of God. Father, I have sinned. The writer of Hebrews tells us that when we do that, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, when we approach the throne of God through our high priest, Jesus Christ, our mediator, the writer says we have grace and mercy to help us in time of need. What does the writer mean by we have grace and mercy? I truly believe it means that we have forgiveness with God. When we come before the throne of God through our high priest, Jesus Christ, acknowledging our sin, we have grace and mercy in time of need. That's how we access God's grace and mercy as the children of God. Through prayer, praying according to the will of God, 1 John 5, 11 through 14. Well, I'm going to mention a few more tests of fellowship tonight from the book of 1 John. What's interesting is you can pretty much note these tests of fellowship in the first two chapters. And then, as I said, the Apostle John will come back to each one of these points. And I'll show you a couple more examples of John doing this. But this would be the third test of fellowship. And we're going to see this in the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The third test of fellowship is keeping the commandments of God. Keeping the commandments of God. Let's just read a couple of verses, and I believe you'll see the point. Read with me verse number 3 and verse number 4. I'm in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Hereby we do know. Remember we pointed that out. The word know, some 32 times in the book, God wants us to know. God says, hereby we do know that we know Him. Know Him. That's fellowship. That's intimacy. That's having a relationship with God. John says you can know Him. You can know God. Notice the condition again, verse 3. If we keep His commandments. And then look at verse number 4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's not enough just to say, I know Him, that I know God. Just like we said earlier with fellowship, it's not enough to say, you know, I have fellowship with God. Anybody can say that. Well, if we have fellowship with God, we know we're going to live a certain kind of life. We're not going to walk or live in darkness. We're going to walk in the light. We know that if we say that we have fellowship, we're going to keep the commandments of God. That's what the children of God do. They keep the commandments of God. But think about it like this. As we think about keeping the commandments of God, do you realize what we're talking about is part of sonship? Now earlier, or this morning, earlier this morning in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, we talked about that. Behold, what manner of the love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, the sons of God. 1 John 3, verse 2. If we're children of God, sons of God, we're going to be obedient to God's commandments, just like Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, the writer speaking about Jesus said these words, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. You see, obedience is something that we learn just like Jesus. Jesus learned to be obedient to His Father through suffering. If we're going to be children of God, if we're going to maintain this sweet fellowship that we have with God, we must continue to be God's obedient children. It's part of sonship. We learn that from Jesus Christ. And even when it was difficult, Jesus obeyed His Father. Philippians 2 verse 8 says, He humbled Himself and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We need to follow the example of Jesus Christ if we want to be true children of God. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse number 50, whosoever keepeth the will of my Father, whosoever keepeth His commandments, Jesus says this, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Now it's an interesting context when you go back. There were those who were wanting to see Jesus. His disciples come in and say, Lord, your family is here. Your mother is here to see you. And Jesus is going to use this as an opportunity to encourage people to be obedient to the Father. Those who are obedient to the Father, they're a part of my family. Jesus identifies Himself with those who keep the commandments of God. Jesus in John 14 verse number 15 says this, if you love me, it's not enough to just say you love me, anybody can do this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. When I think about what John is saying, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But here it is again. But he that doeth the will of my Father. If we're going to be true children of God, we must be obedient to the commandments of God. Now this is what John presents here in chapter 2. Do you realize as you continue to read the book of 1 John, he's going to come back to this? He's going to continue to talk about being obedient to the commandments of God. But he's going to give us more insight into what he's talking about, into what he's already presented right here in 1 John chapter 2. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you would, go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. I love this verse. One translation says, His commandments are not burdensome. Have the right attitude about the commandments of God. And every time you see a commandment, don't forget this point. There's a good reason for it. I'm saying with all of God's commandments, every one of them, every time I see a commandment, there is a good reason for it. You see, the commandments of God are there to protect us. They're there to help us. They're there to lead us in the right direction. And so John is encouraging Christians to have the right attitude toward the commandments of God. Don't look down upon the commandments of God. Don't murmur and complain when it comes to the commandments of God. There's a good reason why God gives us those commandments. And if we love God, we're going to welcome all of those commandments. But think about it maybe in another way. Welcome all of the rules of God. Now, I'm using that terminology for a reason, because it seems like in our day of time, in the religious world, there are a lot of people that don't even like that word, rules. But you realize that that's what the commandments of God are? They are rules. Rules that we must follow if we want to be crowned with victory. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you would, go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, as he is encouraging young Timothy, he's encouraging Timothy to be a man of God. We might say today, to suck it up, or to man up, to endure the hardships of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Timothy, it's not going to be easy. And so to encourage Timothy, he's going to focus on a soldier, endure the hardness of a good soldier. He's going to then focus on an athlete, be disciplined, Timothy. He's then going to focus on a farmer. Timothy, you're going to have to be patient, long-suffering as a New Testament Christian. But focus with me just for a few minutes on Timothy being encouraged to be disciplined like an athlete. Listen to what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now that's the New King James. When you look at other translations, it says this, except he abideth by the rules. I like that. He must abide by the rules if he is going to be crowned. Well, what are those rules? Those are the commandments of God. This isn't new terminology. And so we see that being obedient to the commandments of God are one of those tests of fellowship that we read about in the book of 1 John. Listen, if we're in fellowship with God, work with me here. Listen to me. If we're in fellowship with God, think about what we've looked at already. We're going to walk in the light. If we're in fellowship, we're going to confess our sins to God. If we're in fellowship, we're going to strive to be obedient children of God. Notice this. What is this? Number four. Fourth test of fellowship. If we're in fellowship with God, go back to the book of 1 John. Still in chapter 2. Notice this next one. We're going to love the brethren. I love this one. We're going to love the brethren. Look at what John says. I love what he does here. And this point is really captured beginning at verse number 7 and following. But we're going to drop down to verse number 9. Look at what John says now here in verse number 9. He that says he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. The language suggests this idea. A person could come along and say, you know, I'm in fellowship with God. A person could come along and say, well, I'm walking in the light. But they don't love their brother. Well, John says, listen, if you don't love your brother, you're not in fellowship with God. If you don't love your brother, you're not walking in the light. You're walking in darkness. And then he goes on in verse number 10. He that loveth his brother abideth, notice where, in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Here's the idea. If you love the brother, your brethren, this is really a mark of spiritual maturity, being in Christ. Verse number 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The Bible has a lot to say about love and loving the brethren. In Hebrews 13, verse 1, the writer says, let brotherly love continue. This is part of being in fellowship with God. It's part of being in the light. It's part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Loving the brethren is that badge of discipleship. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus encourages us to love one another. And he says, by this, by your love for one another, all men will know that you are my disciples. When we have that kind of love. Now John talks about loving the brethren. He's going to come back and talk about it again in chapter 3. He's going to add more to it. Look at 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 9. 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Excuse me, 1 John 3, verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. There's that comparison again. Children of God, children of the devil. Walking in the light, walking in the darkness. You can know whether you are a child of God or a child of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth, notice this, in death. Not in life, but in death. Whosoever hateth his brother, verse number 15, listen to this, is a murderer. Now notice what John is doing. Loving the brethren is a test of fellowship. If you love your brother, you're walking in the light. If you don't love your brother, you're not in the light. You're not in fellowship. You're in darkness. If you don't love the brethren, you're not children of God. You're children of the devil. If you don't love the brethren, you are a murderer. Pretty strong language. But you see how John continues to give more insight? And now what he's going to do in the following verses is he's going to explain what it means to love the brethren. You know, Russell, I love you. That's easy to express to one another, isn't it? To say, you know, I love you, but you realize the love that we're talking about is more than just a verbal expression. I love you. In fact, read with me 1 John 3, verse number 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say that you love God and you're not willing to help your brethren? Look at verse 18. My little children, Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John isn't saying that we shouldn't ever vocalize that. I believe that's part of loving the brethren. We vocalize it, but we put those words into action is the idea in verse number 18. That's what true love really looks like. By the way, that's the kind of love God demonstrated toward us. In fact, here we go. We get into 1 John chapter 4. Guess what John's going to talk about in chapter 4? Loving the brethren. He started this in 1 John chapter 2. He talks about it in 1 John chapter 3. Now he talks about it in 1 John chapter 4. Every time he adds a little bit more to what it means to love the brethren. Look at what he does in verse number 11. Here's the motivation. This is what motivates me to seek your best interest, and this is what motivates you to seek my best interest. By the way, loving the brethren, it's not a one-way street here. It starts with me, but it's a reciprocal act. I love you, you love me. And this is what motivates us to love one another, to seek one another's best interest. Here it is, verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Tell you what, you can't argue with that. Because God loved us when we were His enemy. You can't argue with that motivation. I have no right to withhold love from my brethren because God loved me. And so loving the brethren is a test of fellowship. If we love the brethren, again, think about what we've already said. We're going to experience the fullness of joy. If we love the brethren, we're going to have that blessed assurance that we belong to God, that heaven is our home. Let's look at one more. Go back, if you would, to the book of 1 John. I just noticed this one just a few minutes ago sitting here. I missed this one. It's still here in chapter 2. I knew I was missing one, and it finally came to me. As I said, as you go through the first two chapters, you're going to see these tests of fellowship. As you begin reading chapter 3 to the end of the chapter, chapter 5, John really doesn't present anything new after that point. He just continues to elaborate on those things that he presents in the first two chapters. Listen to this terminology, and then I'll give you this last point. Let's just read this together. And I think as we read this, you'll see the point that we're going to make. Begin with me in verse number 12. He says, 1 John 2:12, I write unto you. Remember, John tells us why he's writing. This is seen throughout his epistle. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Listen to what He says now. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, did you notice the terminology? Little children, fathers, young men. I think when you look at what John is saying here, you see the stages of what we might refer to as spiritual growth. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's Word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 verse 2. You see, when we obey the gospel, we are babes in Christ. But we are to grow and we are to develop. We are to be holy men of God. And what I mean by men of God, I'm talking about being mature children of God. We're not to remain in that infancy. We're not to be children, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine. That's what will happen if we remain a babe in Christ. We'll eventually be misled away from Christ. We are to mature. We are to grow. And right here, you see God's recipe for spiritual growth. How do I know that I'm growing? The Word of God will abide in you. It's going to be in you. It's going to be burning in your bones. You'll be living it out. You'll be learning God's Word, studying God's Word. And as you do that, you become stronger. You become more and more mature in Christ Jesus. In 2 Peter 3, verse number 18, Peter says that we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This indeed is a mark, a fellowship. Spiritual growth. If I'm growing spiritually speaking, it gives me assurance that I belong to God. We can know. We really can know that we have fellowship with God when we walk in the light, when we confess our sins, when we strive to be obedient children of God. We can know that we have fellowship with God when we truly love the brethren. And we can know that we maintain fellowship with God when we continue to grow as God's children, spiritually speaking. I hope this lesson tonight has encouraged you as it has encouraged me to think about our spiritual life, because that's what really matters to God. God wants us to be His spiritual children, because when we are His spiritual children, we enjoy so many things. You see, the desire of the righteous, Proverbs 11 verse 23, is only good. It's only good. That's what God has to offer us. Blessings and goodness. He gives us so much to live for. So much to look forward to. This is why we need to think about our fellowship with God. And I would encourage you to read this great book, because it will encourage you to want to be stronger. It'll encourage you to want to be closer to God. And God's made that promise in James 4, verses 7 through 8. You draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Do you realize that passage is speaking about fellowship? Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. We can help you tonight. Won't you please come as we stand and as we sing.